Bring greetings to each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. Also, bring you greetings from the brethren and sisters at Elm Street this morning. It's good to be back with you here at Susquehanna Valley and worship together. I enjoyed the moments of quietness before the service. That's a special time of meditation and preparing for the service. And it's good to be back and see your faces again. Brother Keith forgot one announcement. I'll just maybe tell you. I believe his birthday is tomorrow. So he didn't tell me to tell you that, but so we'll get that taken care of first. I'd like to take a message from Luke chapter 2. I invite you to turn there with me. You perhaps have looked at that before already this week in your own family devotions, maybe, or your own personal devotions. It was mentioned already. Today is a special day, Christmas on Sunday. And it's a special time. And we reflect upon the birth of Christ and the meaning of Christ coming, and as we think about the impact of Jesus' birth and his life, his death and resurrection, the impact that that has and had on the world, and the huge impact that he has. And how we respond to our eternal destiny. And today we see so much emphasis on Christmas, and we wonder if people really understand the meaning of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, I've chosen to take a phrase from verse 32. I'm going to read verses 25 to 35 first of all. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures this morning, and I invite you to turn along with me. I believe the Word of God is the power of God and Jesus in living in Word, and I invite you to turn along with me as we read the scripture this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. We're breaking in here. Jesus is born. I believe he's 8 days old, and his parents are bringing him, Joseph and Mary are bringing him to the temple. They're following the law. And there's a man, Simeon there, who is a devout man. And notice what the scripture says about Simeon. This man who was living in that era of time, and who had a grip on the scripture and had a connection with God. And it's a challenge. He's a challenge to me. Notice what the scripture says. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We'll stop reading there. Imagine how Simeon must have felt. I never thought about it this way before. But as I read this and pondered this portion of Scripture, he held Jesus in his arms. That impacted me a little bit. Imagine the privilege to hold baby Jesus in your arms, and he knew that this was God's, this was the Christ. So much of what we read about Jesus' life is suffering and hurt, but here was a man connected with God, and God gave him the privilege to hold the baby in his arms. How am I holding Jesus today? Am I hanging him on the cross today, or am I holding Jesus close to my heart? Am I holding him? Just a side thought. I've taken the message from verse 32, and the title of the message is this: A Light to Lighten. A Light to Lighten. Thinking of the impact of Jesus' life. Verse 32 says, A Light to Lighten the Gentiles. And that's particularly what I want to focus on this morning, is the light to lighten. Do we need light in the world in our hearts today? We need light. Turn with me back to Exodus chapter 10. Those of you who care to. And Ken, I want to read something to you from Exodus chapter 10. This is the story of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And I'm just using a phrase here. This is the plague of darkness that had fallen on Egypt. And I want you to notice what the scripture says about the children of Israel in verse 23. What I'm trying to do is to point out to us darkness. Okay, so verse 23. They saw not one another. The darkness fell on the earth, okay, on Egypt. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Okay, a light to lighten. So imagine darkness that was so dark that they could feel the darkness. And you didn't get out of your bed for 3 days. You were in bed. You were scared of everything because it was so dark you could feel the darkness. That is life without Jesus. Dark. And fearful. You're fearful and scared. And the time when Jesus came was a dark time. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. You see, God is the origin of light. I want to look at the message in basically three different areas. We want to notice the origin of light. We want to notice Jesus, the light. And then we want to notice my response to the light. We just want to move through that. And thinking in your life this morning, where are you in relation to this? A light to lighten. Is your candle lit this morning? Is my candle lit? That's why Jesus came. He came to lighten. The Bible says that He is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. That's why Jesus came. So that we don't have to grope in darkness that can be felt. Darkness that is spiritual darkness. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And God said, Let there be light. The origin of light is in God. And I find it interesting to notice that the sun and moon and those elements of creation were created after light. It was 4 or 5 days after light was created that the sun and moon and so forth was created. God himself is light. There is the supernatural light, and we think of the light of the pillar of cloud, and we think of the time that Saul was struck down, or Paul, and he was struck down by a light. With the creation of light came division. There was light and there was darkness. And God separated the light and darkness. And that separation continues today. You're light or you're dark. You're one or the other. We like to think maybe that we can have our life on a dimmer switch. And maybe it is that way to some degree. I'm not sure. But how bright are we shining today? Jesus came as a light to lighten. 1 John 1:5. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. At all. Now I want to notice Jesus, the light. How does the life of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, how does that light lighten? What does that mean? Turn to John chapter 1 and verse 9. So it's talking about John the Baptist who came to bear witness of the light. In verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe he was not that light, capital L, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Here's the verse that I talked about earlier, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The life of Jesus brings light to the world in that it brings men to a point of decision. In verse 32 of Luke chapter 2, we read, a light to lighten means that it was a revelation. It was God's revealed will and truth. And it brings men to a point of decision. The light shone and the light men needed to choose. What will you do with Jesus? Where are you going to put him? What box will he fit into? And they grappled with that question and grappled with that question. And some of them decided, we're going to kill him. Others, like Simeon, decided to embrace him. This is the Lord's Christ. It brings men to a point of decision. Jesus, the light. The law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to bring the Israelites to Christ, to show them their inability to live above sin in their own way. The law prepared them for Jesus, and then Jesus came and fulfilled the law. And they were brought to a point of decision. Today, we face a point of decision. What will we do with Jesus? Jesus came in God's own good time. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4, verse 4, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Jesus, the light. This light of Jesus brings revelation, as I said. And it also makes manifest man's motive of heart. I'm going to turn to John chapter 3. We're in John 1 here. John chapter 3, I like these verses. Verses 16 to 21. We're talking about light bringing revelation. Jesus' life, the light to enlighten. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the Son, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the commandment, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. My friend, and some of you who do more with vehicles may understand this better than I do, and it just came to me in my study, but my friend who buys and sells vehicles, he has some kind of gadget that he can take up to the paint, up to the side of the vehicle, and he can determine if the vehicle was repainted or not. Something like I don't know how it works exactly, but it sees beyond the surface. It's God's light. Light to enlighten. You see, the light of Jesus shines in our soul and in our heart, and it looks beyond the surface. It looks into the recesses of our heart. And I think if we're all honest this morning, we sit here this morning and we understand, unless we're totally deceived, but we understand where we are in relation to the light of Jesus. We understand it reveals. God reveals to us. Jesus reveals to us our heart. The question is, am I receiving him or am I rejecting him? Number two, the life of Jesus brings light to the world by the simple fact that he is the revealed truth of God. Actually, number two is this one. It was just another comment or statement. Number two is this one. The light of Jesus commands darkness to flee when our will gives consent. Do you get the impact of what I'm trying to say? The light of Jesus commands darkness to flee. We're talking about the darkness of our heart. A light to enlighten. The darkness of our heart without Christ. The light of Jesus commands darkness to flee when our will gives consent. I don't care today how deep you are in sin. I don't care what you have done. God doesn't care what you have done. But when his light, well, he does care what you have done, yes. But when his light shines into your heart, and you understand your condition, and your will gives consent and says, yes, Lord, I believe you. There is no darkness at that point that is stronger than the light. That thought just impacts me and blesses me so much. There is nothing stronger. And we can say that when our will gives consent and says, yes, Lord, the power of God commands the darkness to flee. It doesn't mean we won't have struggle and temptation and maybe occasion failure. But it means that our position in Jesus has changed and we are turned from darkness to light. I get that from 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Dear ones, this morning, if you are struggling with victory, you are struggling in victory. You need to lay yourself down and understand that the power for victory rests alone in the blood of Jesus and the foot of the cross. In ourselves, we cannot and we will not be stronger than the devil and Satan. But when we come to Jesus and are broken, it's a light to enlighten. It's a light to revive. Yes, we can try all kinds of good things, but victory in Jesus is in Jesus alone, his power and blood. There is power in believing in Jesus as the answer to my darkness. I'm going to turn to Psalm. You don't need to turn here, but I'm going to turn to Psalm 18 and read 25 to 32. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The Lord will enlighten my darkness. You're saying, preacher, when's it going to happen? Just perhaps God is waiting for you to consent your will. Maybe he's waiting for you to give consent. Like Jason talked about this morning. The light of God in the heart is evident by my walk. It's evident by my walk. And we're saying, yes, people can put on a front. And we understand that. But the real true light that shines in the heart is evident by our walk. And our walk is a walk of life. Ephesians chapter 5. Just read a few verses here. Verses 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He goes on to talk about practical things in relation to our walk. Christ shall give light to the person who has his senses aroused from the dead works of sin. Now I'd like to look at the last part of the message, and that is my response to light. My response to the light. In other words, retrospection. What is my response to the light? To Jesus today. Number one, I need to accept Jesus' work of salvation for my life personally. For it is in the acceptance of Jesus that I become a son of God, and I become a fellow heir to his kingdom. I cannot get to heaven on the coattails of my parents. I cannot get to heaven because I'm just simply living a good life. Remember, was it the rich young ruler who asked, "What lack I yet?" And Jesus said, "Just go sell everything you have." He put his finger right there on that spot, and the rich young ruler said, "No." He walked away sorrowful. It is going back again to the source of light where I find strength and direction for the future. Going back to the source of light where I find direction for the future. And it's right here. It's right here. The Bible, God's living word. John 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. You want direction for life? The Bible has the answers for life. That's a response to life, to the light, is when we are feeding on the Word. We are spending time with God. What you feed grows, and what you don't feed dies. We get a concept of that. What you feed grows, and what you don't feed dies. And our eye will be fed by what the heart wants. Our eye will find what the heart wants. Our appetite will be satisfied with whatever that is. Going back to God's word for light, for direction, God's word provides. If you're facing battles today in your Christian walk, read the word. Talk to others. Read the word. Pray. Pray a lot. Ask God for direction. It is the living word. Number three, the presence of light in the heart of the believer will be evident to the world. Matthew chapter 5. Talking about our response to the light, or our response to the light. Matthew chapter 5, a few verses here. Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light," you have been enlightened, you have been lit by Jesus, "let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Maybe sometimes we're a little bit like a glow-in-the-dark object where we want to absorb the light and our good works and what we do. We like to have recognition and people to see, and if someone else is doing something better, we might look at them and think that we might get a little jealous or whatever that is. And maybe we're a little bit like that glow-in-the-dark object, and after a while, we just fade away, and we're dark again. But you see, the true light is in us because our spirit has been lit and we are shining forth not of our own power but of the power of God, the creator of light. Light himself being a little Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus. And it was noticed. I'd like to give you three things that just come to my mind as I was studying. The Bible says, be not conformed to the world. The world sees us in our nonconformity or conformity. The world does see you, how you're dressed. They do see you. A light to the world and how you're dressed. The Bible speaks of modesty and so forth. not conformed to the world and fads, fashion, and frivolity. Meaning a lack of seriousness. Just simply, life is a joke. And a pig wallowing in the mud, you know, if he will always be a pig wallowing in the mud, even if you put a sheep skin over him and he looks just like a sheep. If you let him go, he will go into the mud. He won't go out on the hill and graze in the nice grass and the blue sky, but he will go to where pigs go because he's a pig. And we understand that. But when the heart is changed, we become a different person. The Christian is a different person. Love of the brotherhood is another thing that the world sees. When brethren and sisters love each other and pull together and not push apart, the Bible says that the world notices and they say, "Ha, they have something. Wow." And they're reminded of something. And it just might be that is God's light shining into their heart, lighting their candle. The Bible says, By this shall all men know, because you love each other. And another one is our speech, how we talk. You know, what do we say? How do we talk? It reveals what's in our heart. And the Bible talks in James about our speech. My response to the light. What is my response to the light? Am I living a testimony to the world of a saved individual? Jesus came a light to lighten the Gentiles. A light of revelation, bringing men to decision. We have a response. The song in your rack, I believe it's number 162 maybe. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps in the sea and rides among the storm, was written by William Cooper. William Cooper was a man who had a very rough journey in life. The history would tell us he tried to commit suicide a couple times. And God to him at some times seemed to elude him. Where is God? And his search for God. But in that song, he penned those words which we cherish so much. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He brings light out of darkness. Light out of darkness. None of us this morning were born with our candle already burning for Jesus. We just were not born that way. We were born in sin. We were born dark. And all of us today have a choice to make of what we will do with Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We have a choice to make. What will we do with him? Where will he be? Will we hold him close to our heart like Simeon? Or will we nail him and crucify him again? Let us pray.